Let us turn in God's Word to Romans chapter 8. As we've been going through this passage of Scripture, we come constantly with the reality that we need to know the bigger picture of what God's Word has to say to us as we look at the smaller portions of Scripture. Here we read again from this sunlit summit of the Word of God, Romans 8. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And so He condemned sin in sinful man, in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit. If the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who lives in you. I want us to focus just on verses 9, 10, and 11 this morning as we look at the bigger picture that's behind this, that there will be a gathering of all of God's people one glorious day at the wedding feast of the Lamb. They will all be seated there at that great meal. And the Apostle Paul is giving assurance to the people of God. This is certain. There is assurance all through Romans chapter 8 that those who, yes, are Christians, those who are in Christ Jesus, they will be forever with the Lord. Nothing in all creation can separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. As you look at this passage with me, maybe you ask the question, though, as Paul deals with our mortal bodies, how can these things be? We all here live in mortal bodies. That is, we have bodies that are failing, frail. There are things that are already happening when one is still young that you realize you're mortal. Our mortal bodies are dying from the moment we are born. We are beginning to die. Those first breaths are some of your last breaths. There is a reality that our bodies are dying. As we look at this passage, we realize the bigger context is that sooner or later we will hear the bad news about our bodies. Whatever it may be, there will come that moment that we realize it's failing right now in a serious way. Whether it's that phone call or that moment you realize it's just wearing out, the joints aren't doing it any longer, that replacement even of those knees or whatever it is, they're not even going to keep on going. It's all wearing down. The book of Ecclesiastes gives us one of those most amazing pictures of the body wearing out, the hearing going and the eyes going and the teeth going, the grinders. And sometimes it comes in a more dramatic way to us that it's cancer, it's melanoma, or it's something else that comes upon us. We all know those things are very real in our daily lives. What hope is there for our bodies? As we look at this passage, I'd like for us to have a new word afresh for our bodies. There is good news for our bodies. There is the gospel for our bodies. Christianity alone really has this message that it comes in an absolute way. There is good news forever for your bodies. There is good news. We read here that the Spirit of God is in our bodies. Verse 9, very simply given to us. You, however, are controlled not by the flesh, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And I would bring to you that Paul is not putting this in doubt. He was speaking in a very positive way. As is the case, the Spirit of God lives in you here at Cornerstone. Could there be someone here this morning who really has never come to be joined to Jesus Christ by faith? Certainly. But as we're gathered here this day, there is reason to say, yes, you here, you have the reality of being those who have faith in Christ, and you're in, joined to Christ Jesus by faith. And the Apostle Paul is saying here, there is good news. In our bodies is the Spirit of God. He's not saying, somehow or another, those who are Christians and those who aren't, well, the Christian weighs a little more because he has the Spirit of God. He's not speaking of some strange thing like that. Or the one who becomes a Christian, the moment after he becomes a Christian, if he were on a scale when he became a Christian, he would somehow or another weigh just a smidgen more. That's not what the presence, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit is all about. It's not a matter of a little more something. But God's Spirit indwells. It's spoken of here as one who is really giving that confidence to us that we belong to Him. We are His. He lives in us, not just as an occasional visit, but one who dwells in us. Life in the Spirit in our bodies is that reality that we belong to Him. We are the temple of the living God. That's a great reality for those who are Christians. How is this possible? And certainly it's not because we have some certain amount of money that we give or a certain amount of works that we have done, and therefore we have the Spirit. We've been able to have the Spirit, or we've prayed enough. We are given the Holy Spirit to be in our bodies on the basis of Christ's work on our behalf. We have faith in Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit dwells in all Christians who are joined to Christ. The very work of the Holy Spirit in the life of Christ, in His conception, in His ministry and work, and all that He is, in His baptism, all that He did on our behalf, His being offered up on the cross, the Holy Spirit was there, the eternal Spirit offering Him up on the cross. There was that work of the Spirit in His being raised from the dead. That work of the Holy Spirit is a reality in us, and that He gives us new life, opens our eyes, opens our ears to hear. Before, we didn't care. We could even hear the songs and what is this? Suddenly one who is alive has the Spirit of God dwelling within. There is this new life and understanding, this glory that is given to Christ, to see Him and to trust in Him. Paul says, you have the Spirit. It's something of that possession that He lives in our bodies, ongoing reality of His presence. And I think it's important for us to emphasize this morning that this isn't just for some really spiritual Christians over here. Again, that whole concept that we have different kinds of Christians in the sense that we have a Christian who has the Spirit and a Christian who doesn't have the Spirit. Paul says if you don't have the Spirit of God, you don't belong to Christ. You're none of His. Certainly, there are those who are young Christians who are growing in their understanding of new things in Christ. There are those who have been walking with Christ for 50, 60, 70, 80 years. And they have a certain maturity. And there are those kinds of differences. But if you're a Christian at all, you have the Spirit of God within you. He dwells there. He's a reality. You have the Spirit, not as some special gift in the sense of you're different because you have done such and such in the Spirit. But Paul says all Christians are the temple of the Holy Spirit. His dwelling place. He lives within you. He is the one who possesses us. He has us. He lives in us. He lives in our bodies. Secondly, notice with me this morning, Paul identifies this Holy Spirit with the term the Spirit of Christ. The Spirit of Christ gives life to our bodies. Again, verses 10 and 11 speak of this. But if Christ is in you, and that is the case if you're a Christian, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies. This one who is identified here as the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit, He will give life to our mortal bodies. And I think there's an interesting element here of how the Holy Spirit is spoken of as being one who is of the Father and of the Son. And there's that sense in which even as we have historically, the church has understood how the triune God, there is that oneness, and the Spirit of God is sent forth from the Father, and the Spirit of God is sent forth from Christ, of Christ in that sense. The church, as you know, historically in about 1054, had a great division over this very point. The Eastern Orthodox part of the church denied. They could not go along with that the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, was also sent from Christ. And we have those historic divisions, but there's an importance, I believe, here to see this unity of work that is here. Again, we have that word that's given to us here, and from the Son, in the sense of the Spirit of Christ, and yet it's the third person of the Sacred Trinity that is being spoken of. As is the case, the one who dwells in you as a Christian dwells in your body, this physical frame. This is not the flesh that is the sinful nature that Paul has been speaking of, but he uses not the word here, sarc, flesh, but rather the word soma, our body, our physical frame. The Spirit lives in us, in this physical frame. Your body is dead because of sin. Now, that's one of those expressions. Exactly what does it mean? I always remember a great painting in Westminster Seminary in Philadelphia, in Machen Hall, in the great faculty room there, this beautiful mahogany room, as they have different volumes, old leather volumes of the faculty there on the shelves, but they have one painting there of the great Old Testament professor. He knew some 45 languages related to the Old Testament, and I always remember reading, fascinated, that once a liberal said the Bible was inaccurate in a certain place of the Old Testament, and he made 100,000 citations showing this man didn't know what he was talking about. Under that painting of Robert Dick Wilson are the words of the Old Testament professor saying, "I have not shirked the difficult questions." And here before us is one of those questions of what exactly does Scripture say here? And I'm not sure. The body, though, is in that realm of death. It is that dying element. And it's not just that it's going to die, but it's already in that sphere of death itself. As we begin, those first breaths of a baby are some of the last. There's death all over our lives, all of us. Paul says in Romans 6, it's a body of sin. He says it's a body where sin reigns. In Romans 7, he speaks of it as being the body of death. The body is something that is dying. The body dies. The body is mortal, and mortality is a reality for all of us. Can you outlive death? We're in a body that's dying. We could name off those who have died just in the last 6 months or last year. Here, a half dozen or so. The reality of death. But here, the Spirit of Christ gives life to your bodies, this physical frame, this mortal body is being spoken of. Now, we're not speaking here of just getting things going pretty good or getting rid of one illness to wait for another illness. It's speaking here of the resurrection life, this life that will transform us, transform our bodies by raising us from the dead. And to be like Christ's body, it's not some freeing of the Spirit from the body, but rather the Holy Spirit gives life to our mortal bodies. It's not some kind of Gnostic life or something mysterious, but it's real life given to these physical frames. He gives life, everlasting life, for the body. It has not yet happened. Our bodies are still in that sphere of death. Now, a closer look. The good news for our bodies. Look at verse 11 closely with me again, seeing that that word "if" is not bringing doubt, but it is the case with all who are Christians. There is a certainty of the resurrection. Jesus Christ arose from the dead, therefore we will be raised from the dead. Our bodies, just as His body was raised. The Apostle Paul emphasizes that through his letters constantly. The Spirit in us, in our bodies, gives us the certainty of the resurrection of our bodies. I was, as a young man, probably to a certain extreme against things like giving flowers to someone. or a corsage. So I was always the one that gave books to my Nancy when I would take her to a banquet. I thought, why would you want to waste your money on stuff that fades away? So when it came that time of asking her to marry me and all these decisions, and we were, boy, here's where we're going and when we're going to be married, and we had talked through all these things, boy, an engagement ring, what a waste of money. We wouldn't even think of something like this. Well, I was away at university and she was back in Phoenix, and began to think, you know, this would be a good idea maybe. So I remember coming home that Christmas 40 years ago, and I had worked extra hours early in the morning and had bought this ring. And I can remember what a joy it was to give her that ring and say, hey, I'm coming back this summer for the wedding. What a poor illustration in one sense. And yet, God's Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, is in our bodies. And He is coming back. And there will be that great wedding feast. There will be life given to our bodies. There will be a resurrection of our mortal bodies. There is a certainty of this because the Holy Spirit is within us, and God has promised to give our mortal bodies life. Not just rejuvenate them, not just a temporary healing, not just some feel-good vitamins. But whatever has taken place, whether we have been eaten by sharks, burned in a fire, there will be a resurrection of the body. Your body will no longer be dead. There will be life given to your body, even though your body is mortal now. It will put on immortality. The picture that I had before me from the time I was about 3 years old, 40 plus years, being raised by my granddad, I watched his disfigured face and the reality that any day he would die. There hardly was a day that you didn't think maybe he won't make it, and yet he was so tough that he made it and outlasted all his doctors. Disfigured, so that people would point at him and say, see, look at that. Our Lord Jesus Christ was, as Isaiah 52 speaks, disfigured, marred beyond that of any man. He was raised from the dead. There was life given to his body in an amazing way, such that he was, yes, he is that resurrected Lord. And our great hope is that though our bodies are frail, though our bodies are decaying, though our bodies are wearing out, we have a gospel good news for our bodies. Though we may be with MS or MD, or we may be suffering and battling with cancer, there may be heart problems, there may be that death itself that comes to all of us. But we have in God's plan good news for our mortal bodies, yours and mine. In Christ, our mortal bodies are not some disposable package. This body that God has created, yours and mine, was not some colossal mistake on God's part. His whole creation He had as part of His grand plan of glory. We have here God's creation for His glory and our good, far from being some prison of the soul. The body will be the perfect embodiment of our redeemed personality, and we will live forever for God's glory in these bodies that will put on immortality. God didn't make a grand mistake when He created our bodies. God did not commit an error when He made us. The psalmist says, I praise You. Why? I praise You because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your work of making my body is wonderful. When God calls you to Christ, He calls you to full redemption. As the psalmist says, it's a full redemption because He Himself will redeem you. Christ was made flesh and dwelt among us. Christ died. His body suffered for our sins on the cross. His body was buried. And His body, by the almighty power of the Holy Spirit, was raised again. His body ascended to the Father's right hand. And His body, He is coming again in power and glory. That's good news for us. That's the gospel for our mortal bodies. The full redemption is what we have in Christ. The redeemed will come from the east and from the west and from the north and the south. They will sit down with the people of God of old at the banquet table of God, and there will be that rejoicing together in God's great salvation. Historians tell us how in the 19th century, revival came across the Midwest. During part of this country, there was times of great revival in preaching, and the people of God would gather together, and it would literally be for days. There was something that was very enjoyable. Yes, there was weeping, and there was praying, there was preaching, there was those very awesome moments of tears and times of confession of sin, but there was also that singing and fellowshipping, that eating together of the people of God, the good enjoyment of food they would cook. And I read of how they would do fried chicken and even okra and black-eyed peas and those things that are really good as people enjoyed them. We need to realize that all the saints of God will be gathered together one day. And yes, there will be a resurrection of the body. There is that good news, that fellowship together and enjoying what God has created for the good of His people and for His glory. Sitting down one day at the wedding feast of the Lamb, our bodies will be redeemed to enjoy all the good things of God's eternal life in Christ. Just a few words of application for us. There is sickness in this life. One of the things that, as a very young man, I think was a tremendous stumbling block to me, and I still remember the night a pastor came to our home, and here was my granddad with all his sufferings and pain and problems, and that pastor said, "You know what, if you really had faith, this probably wouldn't have happened to you." I don't know all the answers to that question of that night, but I do know that there are Christians who speak of sickness as somehow or another always something of a lack of faith. They really deny the reality that this body is a body of death. This is a mortal body we all live in. There's nothing unspiritual about sickness. All bodies groan with realities of death and dying. Don't be discouraged. The best is yet to come. There will be a resurrection of this mortal body, and it will put on immortality. There is a reality of good news for our bodies. The Spirit is in you as a guarantee, as a ring of God's love around you. We, as Thomas Watson says, are more sure to arise out of our graves than out of our beds. My body, though it's failing, has good news. There is life everlasting life in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Spirit in your body is the assurance of the transformation, the resurrection, the glorification of your body. Live with this hope. Don't forget it. Eternity will not be a world of disembodied spirits, but rather your mortal body will put on that immortality. Let us read those familiar words of 1 John chapter 3 that we love so much. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. We live for eternity, not for some quick fix. We have the reality of so great a salvation, as 1 John 3, verse 2 tells us, "Dear friends, now we are the children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known, but we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure." God's eternal plan will be fulfilled. There is good news for our mortal bodies. The sovereign Lord will see to it. He will keep His promise of good news for your bodies. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank You that our faith is not one of mysterious things that are just in the mind and in the spirit and in the soul, but that You have given to us the assurance that all of creation, by Your almighty power and through the work of Your Son, Jesus Christ, will have the liberation. That liberation, as we think of the liberating power of Your Holy Spirit that will come even to our mortal bodies. We pray, O Lord, that You would give to all of us afresh this glorious hope. Jesus Christ is coming again in power and in glory. We give You thanks for this promise. In Jesus' name, amen.